Hello, welcome to National Treasure Minute. This is the podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate National Treasure, the movie, 1 minute at a time. I'm Hugh from HughKeen.com.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we're going to be talking about minute five of the movie National Treasure. Minute five starts with Christopher Plummer's character, Grandpa Gates, showing a dollar bill to Benjamin Gates and ends with him telling Benjamin Gates to kneel. So do you want to start first or do you want me to go first?
Okay, well, I mean, most of the things I have are just about our new character. Okay,
so I'll go first.
Everything I have.
I said I liked how the camera is blurred in the background behind the grandpa when Ben's father, Patrick Gates, first enters the scene. It's blurred and it stays blurred until he walks close enough to the camera and then he comes into focus. I thought that was sort of neat effect. You didn't like see him the whole time he was walking into the room, and it sort of played along with how his voice starts off camera before you actually see his character. And then a few notes about the dialogue. The Patrick Gates says that the dollar bill that the grandpa is holding is the majority of the Gates's family fortune.
Can I take a time out? Just so we know, Patrick Gates is a dad, because I don't actually think they said.
Thanks for keeping us up to date. The grandpa's talking to Patrick, the dad. And the dad says the $1 is all that comprises their family's inheritance, basically, because their whole family has spent their lives searching after fool's gold. And he's referencing the treasure that the Gates family has been hunting for. And then the grandpa stands up and goes off camera and says, "It's not about the money, Patrick. It's never been about the money." And I thought that was a really important line because it sort of ties in with what we talked about in a previous episode about Ben Gates' motivation behind finding the treasure. And since his grandpa is sort of the person inspiring him here at the beginning of the movie, it's sort of significant that his grandpa doesn't believe it's about the money. And so I was thinking about it and how there's really like two types of people, and it's people who like two types of treasure hunters. And one of them is the type that just wants to find the treasure so they can have the treasure. And then there's the type like Ben and his grandpa who just want to find the treasure to say that they've found it. And I think I'm of the first group where I would probably just want to find the treasure so I could have the treasure. So I was just going to bring that up. What do you think you would be?
Well, I like to say that I don't care about money, but then sometimes I do care too much about money. But I feel like I would care more about it for like a historical sake. Like, look at all the stuff we found. What am I going to do with it? You know, like there are plenty of people who care more about the actual, what it would signify than what it's worth. But who knows? Maybe I would just want it.
Yeah. Then the other stuff I had about the dialogue was that Patrick turns around and looks at the grandpa and Ben, his son, and says, "Say your goodbyes." But he's not looking at the grandpa. When he says that, he's like looking down past the grandpa's shoulder. So I thought he was talking to Ben when he said that. But then I was thinking about it and wondering who it was directed to. Because I think it's really good in screenwriting, because it shows that Patrick doesn't have enough attachment or affection for his father to even say, like, to involve himself in the goodbyes. Like, he's like, no matter who it's directed to here, he's basically pushing himself away from the scenario where it's like, he's not saying, "Come on, Ben," and then they're both saying goodbye to the grandpa at the same time. he's like, I'm going to leave so you two can say goodbye, because obviously you care more about saying goodbye than I do. And if he's saying it to, if maybe he's saying it to both of them, but whoever he's directing this at, if he's directing it to one person in particular, it would sort of emphasize that he knows one of them is going to have a harder time saying goodbye, if that makes sense.
I feel like you just thought about this way deeper than I did.
Well, it's just like, it's an example of when filmmakers say good screenwriting shows you like what's going on instead of telling you what's going on. And so like they could have wrote dialogue like that's very more literal here, to like describe, like the characters could say something a lot more literal about the relationships between these three people, or like the dad's, like Patrick could have said something a lot more like, you know, I don't care about this family or something. But that's like, we get that feeling without him saying anything like that. We get that feeling with his remarks here. So I think they did a really good job of writing the dialogue in this part of the scene.
I understand that, like that was one of the things that I noticed, was just you could tell how bitter he was about the whole situation, and obviously towards his dad. But I'm just confused about what you're talking about with the who's saying, like, who's having a harder time saying goodbye. That's what lost me.
Well, it's just like, is he, like, did it? It doesn't really matter in the scheme of things, but it's like, it was just interesting to me, like, if he was telling his son, like, say your goodbyes, because that would show that he's like, it's hard to explain. If he was saying that to his dad, then it would be more disrespectful if he was saying it to his father, because then he would be basically saying, I'm not going to say goodbye to you, but say goodbye to my son, because we're leaving. As opposed to if he says it to his son, then it's like, we're done at this house, we're leaving.
It looks like,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it looks like right before it, he says, come on, son, time to go.
Yeah.
So I just assumed he was directing it.
Yeah, I did too. But if you look at the footage, what happens is he says that, and then when he says, say your goodbyes, he's looking past the grandpa, and as soon as he says it, he looks up at the grandpa, which is like body language. Like if you were trying to, like if you said something and you wanted to see somebody's reaction, but you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, I just thought it was really good, because this is something that would happen in, like this is a conversation that would happen in real life. Like this is dialogue that real people say, you know?
Yeah.
So I just appreciated that.
Well.
And.
Did you have more on that?
I just had more about the scene.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, in terms of like their relationship and how it's obviously not great, I just am glad that he still at least lets his son have a relationship with his grandfather, because he could have easily been like, we've already had enough people in our family waste their time looking for this. Like, you're not going to get to know him, because he wouldn't want him to fall into that trap.
Yeah.
But clearly he values him enough to where he's like, I want my son to have a relationship with him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that is interesting. We'll have to revisit that, like, in the future, because the dad's going to be in the movie later on.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it will come up again. And we'll see how Ben Gates' relationship with Patrick in that dynamic of, like, father-son once Ben's older. Like, if that's in any way reflective of how like grandpa dad relationship is at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, another thing I had about the scene was whenever we see shots of at the end with Ben Gates kneeling on the ground, you can see a map on the ceiling of the attic, and I think it shows the U.S. East Coast, but it was not focused super well, so I'd have to look a lot or like do a lot more research to figure out what it was a map of, but I just thought that was interesting. I didn't know if it had anything to do with the future of the plot, but I did notice this time, like you said in the second episode, I think, that there's a huge boat, a huge model boat on the on the table right behind them. And so I looked at all the other props in that big wide shot of the attic, but I didn't see anything else that looked significant. There's like a portrait of some old white-wigged dude in the background. I can't tell who it is. But yeah, I didn't see anything else important in terms of props. I think that the grandpa's laugh is super weird. Whenever Ben Gates asks him if the Gates family are knights, he like turns around and he's like, "Huh, you wanna be?" And it's just a really weird delivery to me.
Do you think it was like that's what they had intended, or do you think that like
for the laugh to be weird?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, do you think it was a delivery problem or a, like...
I think it was written in the script, and it was like, Grandpa chuckles and says, "Do you want to be?" Like, that's what the script probably said.
So do you think it should have been a different kind of chuckle?
Yeah, I think it, I think it was a scenario of... Because this happens to me all the time. Well, not all the time, but every time I've tried to read, like, dialogue in a play and somebody else is reading other parts and it says chuckles, it's so hard to make yourself genuinely chuckle, like if you're just reading something flat. So I feel like maybe Christopher Plummer had a blank that day on his chuckling, or, but it just seemed like forced. Like it didn't, I don't know. It seemed like he was just doing exactly what it said on the paper. And so maybe, I don't know, maybe they were having trouble with that. And or maybe they didn't have enough time, so they only shot it once or twice, and they just picked the best one. But I just felt like it was sort of a goofy laugh. and then I thought another important thing in terms of dialogue is that Ben's dad comes in and basically kills the mood and tries to convince Ben that basically there's no point in listening to his grandpa or like believing in the stories. But then like as soon as his dad leaves, all Ben asks about is something connected to what his grandpa was telling him. Like it's not the cliche scenario where the kid's like is he right, grandpa? Like, are you lying? You know, he like he's already bought into that, to that this is real, and he's like, "Grandpa, are we knights?" And I just think it definitely shows, first of all, like a kid's ability to have a lot more faith in things he's told or things they're told. They'll buy into things a lot faster than adults will. But also just it shows Ben Gates, his personality as a youth, that he... he will be persevering, like, against people who tell him he's, you know, dreaming. So I just thought that was another good piece of dialogue. And I think the end of this attic scene is a lot better than the beginning of it was.
So do you think in terms of his personality, he's been able to see his dad growing up and realize how much of a downer he is, and he's like, "I don't really care. Like, I'm used to him bringing everything down, but my grandpa's cooler, and maybe I care more about it."
Yeah, it's hard to tell how old he is in this scene. So, like, I don't know how long it would take you to start making those judgments about your parents, but I feel like at some point in his life, he probably had those thoughts.
Because even if you just, and maybe this is just me reading too much into it, but if you looked about halfway through this minute, when the dad first walks in, the way that Ben looks at his grandpa versus the way that he looks at his dad, I think is different. Because I feel like when he looks at his grandpa, it's more in awe, Whereas where he looks at his dad, he's like, okay, what are you going to yell at me for now or something?
I see. I didn't even pay attention to that. I think as soon as we have Patrick enter the scene, everything gets better.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the quality of his acting just made everybody else, it just inspired everybody else as well. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think that's all I had. So do you have anything else for the scene?
Nope.
Specifically? Okay. So we have another actor spotlight.
Whoop, whoop.
So Sarah, do you want to start?
Okay, his name is John, is it Voight?
That's how I would say it.
Okay. I didn't really look up a whole lot about him, but yeah, that's Patrick, and he was born in Yonkers, New York, which I just really liked the name of that.
That's a funny name.
I'm pretty sure it said the first big thing he starred in was, or maybe just movie, was Midnight Cowboy, and I know you're a cowboy fan, so I was just wondering if you had seen that.
No, I haven't. I've never actually heard of it either.
I realized in looking him up that this is the only movie I've seen him in, which surprised
National
me.
National Treasure?
Yeah. And because I think it's because I've seen this so many times that I'm like, oh, yeah, of course I know who that guy is.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen him in anything else.
Really?
Yeah.
Or do you just, like, did you look through his whole, like,
yeah,
career and you didn't find one movie you'd seen him?
No.
You'd seen besides? Oh, wow.
But fun connection. So I found out that he was the understudy in the Broadway Sound of Music. And I don't like saying the guy's name, but it's for the guy that is like a traitor. He ends up being a traitor and he sort of dates Liesel. It's R-O-L-F. I just don't like.
Ralph.
I think
Ralph?
It's Rolf.
Rolf?
I don't know. It sounds weird.
He was an understudy for that character.
The Broadway,
on Broadway.
I think the Broadway version of it. And he ended up, his first wife was Liesel in that Broadway musical. Her name was
the actor who played.
Yes, her name was Lori Peters.
Or actress, sorry.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I just thought it was funny, Sound of Music connection.
Yeah, that is.
Because of the movie and then.
And Christopher Plummer's there.
Yeah.
And he was in
yeah.
Sound of Music,
yeah.
The movie. So,
you
wonder if they ever talked about it. If they sang Sound of Music
yeah.
on set.
That would be fun. But, of course, that was my big note for him.
Okay.
Because number one movie of all time.
Yeah. That's like, now we're up to two Sound of Music references.
Like, what are the odds of that?
So we need to keep track of that. I'm going to write that down. Okay.
Take
is that
it
all
away.
You had for
Take it
for
away.
Him?
This is your
okay,
segment.
I had a lot.
Oh, boy.
First of all, he's 82 years old.
What?
Now. Right now, he's 82 years old, which means when this movie came out, he was.
No.
Oh, I can't do math. He was 65 in this movie.
No, I don't believe you.
Pretty sure. And you'll have to check my math on that. But that means he was 65 in this movie, but he's supposed to be like 65 when he's older in the movie. So they had to make him look younger for this scene. At least I'm assuming they tried to make him look younger because
yeah.
he probably should be like, I don't know, 30 something in this movie, maybe 40.
Wait. Oh my gosh. I just discovered something
yeah,
else about him.
I'm going to say
what?
It too.
Okay. Sorry. Anyway.
So,
that makes sense that he ends up being his age though.
You're not supposed to do research during the episode.
I told
against
okay.
Rules. Against
let's
rules.
Take a little. Okay, so I. Oh, there's another movie that I've seen him in. I missed it. Okay. Anyway. Okay. This is.
Oh my gosh! This is against the rules, Sarah.
This is how my brain works. It's all over the place. Anyway, I would just like to make a public service announcement that this will be the last time I do research on actors, so that I can be surprised from now on. But I did for this one, and I just discovered something wild. And I discovered the other movie I've seen him in. And I will throw it back to you now.
Okay. So, I don't even remember what I was saying. Oh, we were talking about age. So, he probably has to be 30 to 30, between 30 and 50 at the beginning of this movie. in order, like, for the time change to work once Ben Gates has grown up. Spoilers, Ben Gates has grown up later in the movie. And so I'm wondering if they probably just did makeup, but if they'd done it, like, if they'd done this movie 10 years later or now, would they have, like, used CGI to make him younger at the beginning? Like, would they have CGI'd his face so that...
Is that a thing? People do that?
Yeah, so, like, what? In... you probably haven't seen it, but in Captain Marvel, I think that's the name of it, Captain Marvel, the Marvel superhero movie that came out a few years ago, it's supposed to happen before a lot of the stuff in the Marvel Universe takes place. And so Samuel L. Jackson's character has a CGI younger face, like they de-aged him.
Oh, because I don't really like that.
Supposed to be a younger version of him. So anyways,
I feel like it's cheating.
Okay.
I mean, I understand it's like work to make the CGI.
Well, I'm not saying would you like it if they had done it. I'm saying, do you think they would have made him, given him a CGI like de-aged face?
I'll go with
if
no.
If they'd done it now. Okay.
What do you think?
I feel like they would have. No. I don't know if this. Biased. I don't know if this first. You say biased.
Yeah.
This first movie, maybe not, because I don't know if they had the budget for it. Or if they would have the budget for it if they'd done it now. But I think at this point, like, especially if they had, if they, like, if we're making this like a hypothetical scenario, if he was the same age, like, now as he was then, I don't know if they would have done it because it might not have been worth it. But if they still wanted to use him and they wanted to use him now when he's 82... they definitely would have had to de-age him for that first scene.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought that was interesting to think about because it is it is happening in movies now where they're bringing back old actors like Luke Skywalker from Star Wars. Like, they're bringing him back in his younger version in CGI. And so I'm just wondering how long it's going to be till it comes back into all or starts being in all of our major films. Anyway. So, like we do for every character, I looked up his biggest role, and he won an Academy Award for Best Actor in 1978 in a movie called Coming Home, which is about a soldier returning from a war, and I think he's handicapped. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but
me either.
That's a lot. That was his biggest. Like, he's never won as many awards for a movie as he did for that movie. He won best actor from basically every critics circle, every awards place that year, like, for that movie.
Dang.
So he must have done a really good job. His movie before National Treasure was called The Manchurian Candidate, and it has an 80% on Tomatoes from the critics and a 63% from the audience, and he played a senator in that one. And it also has Denzel Washington, I believe. And that's pretty crazy that both those percentages are high compared to all the other movies we've talked about so far on this podcast. That's pretty well rated, especially since I've never heard of it. So he was coming off a pretty big movie, it sounds like. Before National Treasure. And then the movie he did after National Treasure. The movie he did after National Treasure was called The Five People You Meet in Heaven. And it doesn't have a critics rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but it has an 82% audience rating. And it's about his character dies. And then he goes to heaven. He saves a little kid from drowning, I think, and in the process dies himself. And he gets to heaven, and then he meets people that he had known. He's reunited with people from his life, and they like answer all the questions that he never had answers to when he was alive. And that's all I know about it because I just read a small synopsis, but. So that one, So he like did this movie and then he did that one. And then other accolades. Well, first thing I have, and this is probably what surprised you, was he's Angelina Jolie's dad.
Yeah, wild.
Which is just, yeah, crazy to me. like, I don't know. I would never have expected that.
No, me neither.
And in, yeah, I already said this, in 1978, he won Best Actor from basically every place that gives an award for the movie Coming Home. He won a Golden Globes Best Actor for a movie called Runaway Train in 1985. And then he won a Golden Globes Best Supporting Actor in 2013 for a television show or a series for a thing called Ray Donovan. And I didn't even look up what that was. As far as I know, he didn't get any awards for this movie, but he wasn't a huge part of it. So that's all I had for him.
I discovered he was also in Holes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
He's sidekick, right?
He's the cowboy guy.
Yeah, he's the cowboy sidekick. No place for Girl Scouts.
Yeah. Sort of want to rewatch that him. Now. Anyway.
That's so weird because that's just like, it's something where it's like, you don't, like, you wouldn't realize that unless you, like, thought about it.
He has brown hair in that movie, right? Maybe that's
He looks different.
Yeah.
Maybe he has facial hair. I'm not sure.
I feel like his hair is brown at least. Whereas every other time I've seen it as white.
Well, when was Holes?
2003.
That was just the year before this?
4 years. Wait. Oh, wait, no.
4 years was the second one.
Never mind.
It was just a year before this, right?
I don't remember when this one was.
This one was in 2004, Sarah. I'm pretty sure. So if Holes was in 2003, then that's crazy because I always thought the cowboy sidekick guy was like 30 years old in that movie. But if this guy was playing him, that means he's like 50 years.
Wait, no, it's not the sidekick guy. It's the main guy. The main guy that's in charge of it, besides the lady.
The lady's in charge of it, and then that's her sidekick is what I'm calling him.
And then
him.
There's like a little guy. Are you talking about the little guy or the real guy?
What do you mean the little guy?
There's the little short guy, and no, he also the guy works there.
The guy who drives the truck out to meet the boys. That's who I was talking about.
I was just
about.
Making sure we're on the same page.
I don't know who this little guy is.
Yeah, I'll have to show you a picture.
Okay.
And then I also realized he doesn't really have a big role, I don't think. I haven't seen in a while, but he's in the first Transformers also.
Okay.
So I've seen two other movies besides this
so
one.
So you lied to us, and now you're trying to make
unreliable.
It
unreliable. Yes.
Okay. Do you need more time to look at the list just in case there's more?
No, I just went through it. Okay. I think I'm okay.
I didn't even look at the rest of the list to see what else I'd seen him in because I just assumed I'd seen him in other things. I feel like he has a really recognizable face. He's almost like Bryan Cranston, the guy from Breaking Bad, Walt from Breaking Bad. Like, he's in a lot of movies.
Is he?
Yeah. Oh. Like, I'm pretty sure he's in Saving Private Ryan, which, like...
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention to that when we watched it in class one time.
So, it's just like he's an old actor. Apparently, he was a really good actor when he was young. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's in a lot of movies I've seen, and I just wouldn't make the connection until I watched them again. So that's all I have for this minute, I think. Did you have anything else?
No, I just want to apologize because normally I like to find things that are irrelevant, but I wasn't able to do that this time. So I feel like
I'm sure our listeners are disappointed.
I feel like I let some people down, but I'll do my best next time to contribute.
Well, that's all we have. Then we'll see you next time on National Treasure Minute.
Thanks for listening.